There's a fire sale going on in Miami, and every other quarterback appears to be injured. How will that affect the markets? Myself, John, and Mike Carlson have managed somehow to make it through the week without getting injured.
It's NFL, only better.
My favorite one. I always say the next one.
Move like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious. That ball was on the line.
Hello and welcome to NFL Only Better, the show that looks at all the lines of the weekend's action and tries to find a few selections. And of course, we are not scared here on NFL Only Better to look back on some of our mistakes, which we'll do very, very shortly. But first, I just want a reminder that this show will go every single Wednesday. On Thursday, we'll have Football Only Better. And on Friday, we launch our new show, Racing Only Better. So please subscribe to the channel. It's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, covered with NFL football and with racing. So very exciting, John. Very exciting for us. And you subscribe to the channel.
It's all go, Kieran.
I assume all your family are subscribed to the channel now. They know you're going to be on every week.
They've created separate accounts and everything, yeah, so they can subscribe multiple times.
Mike Harrison joins us on the phone as well. Mike, John's whole family has subscribed.
John's just one step away from money laundering.
Yeah, we do. Please subscribe. We need the subscribers, please. So let's talk a little bit of what we spoke about last week and what we got wrong. First things first. A number of people on Twitter noticed that I said that Rams running back was
Todd Gurley,
was a cowbell.
Yeah, you
not
did
a bell cow.
You did actually say the word
so
cowbell.
Apologies for those people who.
You'll notice that I corrected you in the sentence after.
I wasn't listening. I was concentrating on levels and stuff.
Well, you know, Kyron, this happens to a lot of people.
Yes, people took great pleasure in that. What else we got? And John, you called Christian McCaffrey the best running back in the league, and he answered.
Well, listen, he still might be, but just
thinking the place out.
The law of how podcasts like this go: as soon as I make a proclamation such as that, he's going to have probably what will be his worst performance of the season. I think he ran for 37 yards, less than 2.3 average, and he caught a handful of balls as well. But I think his total yardage in the game was less than 60 or 70, yeah. And certainly didn't justify me bigging him up the week prior. But listen, he's still a fantastic player, let's be honest.
Yeah, and Mike, really, the Patriots blew away Miami, didn't they? And we weren't really expecting that.
Yeah, I mean, on my column, which comes up on Fridays on Betfair.
Plug. Lovely.
See the way I did take Miami as the outside bet with 18.5 points at that point. But I did give people a cover to say, if you think you're going to bet Miami, take the under as well, which was 47.5. And, of course, New England scored 43 all by themselves. So they made the under okay. But otherwise, I had a pretty good week. Dallas came in as the best bet. Kansas City is the value bet. And I'd also recommended Jacksonville as an outside bet at getting 8.5, and they lost by one, obviously.
I think the Cowboys were just a sneaky bet that everyone got involved with from around Friday, Saturday. It just looked like it was set up for them. In fairness, when the Redskins went 7-0 up, I was a bit worried. And I don't think Dallas were incredible in that game either. I think they still have some problems. But
I think they're one of those teams that seems to be good pretty much everywhere, but I don't know if they've really put their hand up. Well, apart from Zeke.
They're pretty solid, and that shows you why you have to have an element of caution with teams on the road.
Mm-hmm.
That early falling behind is endemic to a road game. And then you have to be good enough to come back and then retake the lead.
Yeah, it's a great point. Who had the worst weekend, would you say, in terms of bad beats? Miami backers plus 18. I'm actually going to scratch Miami plus 18 because, A, I put them in my accumulator,
yeah.
And I don't feel it was a bad beat. I feel it was just a mistake by me.
it was always an outside bet.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But how do you feel about Miami for the rest of the season? Because there's a fire sale going on right there. They're stripping all of their assets. So are we looking at 40-point losses every single week? Is that something that we can almost bank upon?
It's a hard thing to maintain.
To be that spectacularly poor.
Yeah.
But, as the spread goes up, I mean, and I'm sure we'll mention, but they're up, they're like 21.5 now,
which,
in Dallas, which doesn't seem unreasonable.
Yeah,
I think they could be looking at shipping 40 points again. I think they'll be happy to get out of there by losing by 30.
They have made Ballage there, and we spoke about this just before we came on, John, and we get to the other bad beats, but they have made a guy a running back called Ballage. They're running back number one now.
Well, there's rumors that Drake is out the door
looks
next.
Like,
yeah,
this guy was so bad at the weekend. If you want to hit in his highlights, he ducked a ball, he dropped a ball, he was at fault for an interception, and he didn't get any running yards essentially. So he's not going to be top of fantasy lists. But Mike, who had it worse, would you say? Bears backers minus 2.5, or people who backed the Colts plus 3? Because both of them were tough.
Both of them were tough, but I think if you were a Bears backer and a Bears fan, you had it the worst. Because you'd have to be rooting for your team to lose, and then when you'd finally sort of when you'd come to grips with that, and it was such a weird, you know, Denver deciding to go for two and getting a delay of game penalty on a 2-point conversion, which is ridiculous, and then missing the 1-point extra point that would have tied it, but Buster Skrine had fallen offside, fallen being the operative word because he didn't step, he just fell, and then making the two, and then, you know, that whole combination of roughing the passer and getting the late timeout, and Eddie Pinheiro kicking the game winner. I mean, that just had to drive you crazy. So I just think, you know, that game should have been decided, I think. And it really sends up a lot of warning bells about the Bears, and particularly, I think, about Mitch Trubisky and how that offense is going to work. But certainly I thought in the fourth quarter, what happens in Denver in the fourth quarter is teams fade. They literally run out of oxygen. Yeah. And we started to see it from the Bears in that fourth quarter, but their defense actually stayed alive and their offense played okay. So I think that defense is still something you can put money on.
One question, myself and John were talking because we came in together on the way, and we don't have a lot to talk about except NFL.
I mean, travel everywhere together.
No personal stuff. Is the late timeout that the Bears got, A, do you think it was actually called correctly? And B, what would happen if that player received the football? This is one of the technical questions. And he was not touched. Like, no, if he catches the ball, turns, he's not making the touchdown by the time the clock is well into the zero. So if nobody touched him, surely the play would just be called dead because time runs out.
If nobody touched him while he was still up?
Yeah.
Or down, he could get up and run, but they would have to touch him to stop him because you can't give him the touchdown. You could line up on the 1 yard line, say everybody, and then tackle him just before the end zone. But what he should have done is simply drop. He actually did take a step after he caught it, and then fell. But, you know, he needs to drop and be yelling for time, and the quarterback is yelling for time as well. It's one of the weird things with the NFL is that you can call timeout well off the play, and we see this with icing kickers, for example. It happened on an onside kick in one of the games where they iced the onside kicker, mostly to see what he was going to do, because when you call the timeout behind the play with the referee, or when you call it from the sidelines with the linesman, it takes a while for it to get onto the field and actually stop the play. So I just think you really have to allow that player to call his time out as he's falling, which used to be the case. You could literally yell it and signal as you were going down. Personally, I didn't actually think they made it.
Nor did I.
But I think if Trubisky was literally there with the referee screaming time out at the point where he caught it and fell, you might have just had a half a second left or whatever on the clock, which was enough. But it would have been a terrible way to end the game. Much better to let Pinheiro take the kick.
But before we get on to the quarterbacks, John, you've something to mention about the Texans-Jags game?
Well, just in talk of bad beats, I don't know if anybody, any fan base really had a worse, well, Dolphins aside, any fan base had a worse feeling than the Jacksonville fans coming out of last week's game, because not only did they suffer the roller coaster emotions of scoring a late touchdown but then missing the 2-point conversion to win the game when they could have just scored a normal one or scored a normal PAT and tied the game, but not only did they lose the game, then you have a furious Jalen Ramsey on the sideline, you know, yelling abuse at the coaching staff and now subsequently asking for a trade. So there was a Mike, do you think that was a coaching blunder in essence to go
well,
for
well you know I don't criticize coaches for going you can criticize the play calling. I don't know if Leonard Fournette on that kind of run is what you want. Fournette is one of the bigger disappointments, I think, in the NFL over the last two seasons, and certainly hasn't played up to his potential. And part of the problem is Jacksonville seemed to think that he has, you know, that he's the Leonard Fournette he was supposed to be his rookie year. And given that Minshew had you know, showed a lot of escapability and running ability, you just kind of thought the ball was going to be in his hands one way or the other for the conversion. But last year we had the same thing in the same division when Mike Vrabel of Tennessee went for the two-point conversion at Wembley, which many people said was because he just wanted to get out of town and back to the United States, but in a hurry. But, you know, I think that since I'm not a proponent of overtime,
Partly because
I like to see coaches faced with that decision. Do I play for the tie or do I play for the win? I will not fault a coach for playing for the win. You know, your offense, you ought to have enough faith in your offense to make 2 yards. You know, and if you don't, then okay, fine, but do something about your offense. You can fault the play calling, but I wouldn't fire Marone over deciding to go for the win in that situation. You know, when you get to overtime, there's a coin toss to consider, and, you know, all bets are off.
True.
If you're in a position to win the game and you want to try to win it, I'm not going to fault him for that. And I don't think that's what he and Ramsey were arguing about at that time. I don't know. But,
right.
You know, given Miles Jack's behavior the week before, I think what they're trying to do is go to the WWF as a tag team with Marone as their manager.
Well, let's talk Super Bowl outright. It's one thing that we have to talk, because since we last spoke, guys, Drew Brees went down injured and looks to be out for 6-7 weeks. We'll get more of detail on that maybe in the next couple of days. Big Ben out for the season. Nick Foles is injured. Simeon out for the season. Eli Manning benched by the New York Giants, and Cam Newton, as we record right now on Wednesday morning here, we don't actually know. So quarterback carnage, Mike, in the NFL, and I can tell you how that makes the outrights. New England now 10-3. Kansas, who are your pick for the Super Bowl, 7-1. The Rams are 10-1. The New Orleans Saints are out to 14-1 after what has happened. And a couple of others just to mention, of course, is really, we should say, Dallas Cowboys have come into 14-1. Green Bay, who look like they've got their act together because they're just not letting Aaron do what he's done over the last couple of seasons, which is keep throwing as much as he can. They're 17-1. Who do you think it affects the most, Mike? Surely it is New Orleans, isn't it? And John, would it be New Orleans?
Yeah.
It would have to be, wouldn't it?
It's an interesting situation because Teddy Bridgewater, at least on paper, is probably the best of the backup quarterbacks available to the teams that have suffered injuries. But as we saw last week, he seemed to be an awkward fit into what the Saints tend to like to run. And certainly we don't know what Teddy Bridgewater this is, because the guy who came out of college and then, you know, was basically asked just to hand the ball off and throw on third down for the Vikings, and then got, you know, that horrible knee injury. We don't know if he's back to that kind of form that he had as a kid coming out of college, and how he'll adjust to this Saints thing. I would not be surprised to see Taysom Hill get some snaps at quarterback, not just gadget plays, but maybe some series where he quarterbacks the team. And they've got a really tough. They go to Seattle this week, and then they have Dallas coming in the following week. So that's a tough 2 weeks to adjust. But I think without Brees, they just can't run the offense that Sean Payton has designed, and he's going to have to adapt to that. Now, I think he probably can, but that's often the case with most of these teams.
Do you still think they're the best team in the NFC?
Oh, without Brees? At this moment, you'd have to probably think Dallas move ahead of them, and maybe Seattle. Although I'm still not convinced by Seattle's defense. I would have loved this game this week a lot more if Brees were playing. It would have been a really good test for that defense. And Dallas, of course, haven't played anybody of note in the first 3 weeks, because they got Miami this week. So, you know, Washington, the Giants, and Miami are three of the weakest teams in the league. So next week, week four against New Orleans would have been their first tough game. And that, of course, goes out the window theoretically, if Bridgewater can't perform.
John?
Just on the Breeze thing, it actually, the injury is unfortunate to all of us because it robs us of one of the more interesting kind of sub-markets going on in the NFL at the moment, and that's the race to Peyton Manning's touchdown record, because both he and Tom Brady, I believe, are tied on around 522 touchdowns, and they're... Looks like Brady will surpass Manning this year, who got 539. So I think we're just, from a storyline standpoint, we've been denied a very, very interesting race to this record. So now it seems like it's Tom Brady's to lose at this stage.
Mike, do you think that someone like Michael Thomas now, if you were looking at him, backing him to get a touchdown or maybe multiple touchdowns in matches, you should really think twice?
Probably yes. Because of all the players on that team, Thomas is the one who suits that Drew Brees system the best, the kind of quick release, a lot of slant patterns, a lot of stuff over the middle, a lot of quick outs, and I have the feeling Bridgewater's going to wind up going to some of their deep players a lot more, and that they'll probably run more things out of the backfield for Kamara in particular. So, yeah, I think Michael Thomas becomes less of an attractive bet as a receiver.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. Very, very swiftly, John, would you reel Pittsburgh Steelers out of the playoff race? Big Ben is out for the season?
Well, as a Cleveland Browns fan, certainly.
We'll say yes.
They've lost, obviously, Roethlisberger is out for the season. But, you know, it's common knowledge, but they don't have Bell and they don't have Brown either. Now, maybe not having Brown seems like a good thing these days. But Juju Smith-Schuster hasn't performed yet this season. I know we're only two games in, but he still hasn't really done much in those two games. And, I mean, I don't know if you guys agree with me, but I still think there's a little question mark or two over James Conner. So, listen, it's a tough division that they're in.
They're out to the 60-1 to win the Super Bowl. I don't think they make the playoffs.
I think the Ravens are looking strong.
Yeah, it's interesting with Pittsburgh because their first move after losing Ben is to go out and trade for a safety from the Dolphins, Minkah Fitzpatrick, who's a tremendous player if you use him correctly. And on paper, in theory, he would have been a perfect fit for a Brian Flores Patriots-type defense as a safety who can play corner. But both the Dolphins and the Steelers were talking about him being a corner, which is apparently what he doesn't like or want to be. But their defense, Steelers' defense, needs some work. The offense has problems, and they're another team that's going to have to adjust their offense a little bit more to take Mason Rudolph into account. There are a few quarterbacks who are as strong in the pocket as Ben Roethlisberger, who can absorb punishment and still get the ball away. He likes to hang on and make deep, make big plays, and the Steelers' offense has always sort of been accommodating to that in terms of receivers trying to get man coverage, win one-on-one matchups wherever they can. I think they need to go to a little bit more patterned passing game. And Connor apparently wants to play this weekend, although whether he will or won't is still a question. He's not Le'Veon Bell. I thought Le'Veon Bell, watching him with the Jets, you just think, it's such a shame he's not playing behind a good offensive line like there is in Pittsburgh.
And very quickly, before we move on to the lines for this week's game, Mike, in 10 words or less, does Eli Manning still get into the Hall of Fame?
I didn't think he would in the first place.
That's me answered. We really should chat before we sit record. He's two Super Bowls,
by the way.
He's two Super Bowls.
Yeah, so does Jim Plunkett.
Okay.
Who was a very similar kind of player, won the Super Bowls in very similar ways. Manning is basically a league average quarterback who won two Super Bowls, maybe slightly better than that. His career winning record right at the moment is 116 and 116. He was helped by having great defenses in those Super Bowls, and he's like Roethlisberger, even more so. He's a fearless guy who will make mistakes, and it doesn't bother him, and he'll still take his deep shots and connect with them, which is how they won those two Super Bowls, and he gets a lot of credit. But of the three guys who came in the league the same time, Roethlisberger and Rivers are both more accomplished quarterbacks in terms of statistics, and Roethlisberger also has two Super Bowls. And in Eli's arguments for Eli's are two Super Bowls, although he's statistically behind the other two guys, his statistics are better in the playoffs than they are in the regular season, where the other two guys there's drop in the playoffs, but they're still in the playoffs better statistically than Eli. I think Ben's the only one of those three who goes to the Hall of Fame.
We're going to get some Giants fans emails.
Good. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Eli being benched this week means that the internet will be completely full for at least 2 or 3 weeks after that.
And
the problem is, it's a terrible team. You know, I would hesitate to take Eli out and put Daniel Jones in, you know, behind that offensive line with no receivers.
Let's talk Ravens, Kansas City Chiefs. 23-10 on the money line, Baltimore Ravens. Kansas City's are 1-3, which means, of course, that we are looking at a 7-point spread. Kansas City even money, Baltimore Ravens 5-6 at the moment. So just a tip, just a touch supporting of the Ravens on the spread. Anyone, John, Kansas City, Mahomes at the weekend.
Yeah,
wow.
He just looks spectacular week upon week.
The only thing with him is that you don't actually know who's his favorite wide receiver.
Because he doesn't look at them when he throws to them.
He has injuries at the moment to what would have been his favorite wide receiver. So yeah, it's hard to actually know who he's going to throw the ball to. So if you are getting involved in the game in terms of any sort of individual player prop markets, it's actually really tough, bar really talking about Mahomes throwing and how much he will throw, and the whole thing revolves around him. I don't know if you noticed, but he actually scored all his points in the second quarter.
Yeah,
in the game.
He did.
The
I was watching a lot of that game.
There were no points in the second half from either team.
Exactly. Yeah,
thriller.
They were ten down in the first quarter, and then just decided to play for 15 minutes.
Now I would. I don't know what the odds are, but if you wanted a receiving touchdown, you might try Mecole Hardman, who is the Tyreek. They drafted him basically to be Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, he's the speedster, isn't he?
Have Tyreek Hill, and now that they don't have Tyreek Hill, he's going to take that Tyreek Hill role. So, you know, he could be a long shot. The Ravens have one of the best secondaries, even with Jimmy Smith out injured, in the league. That's what I think. To me, this is the most fascinating part. Can the Ravens carve up the Chiefs defense, which still isn't totally convincing, I don't think. How does their secondary fare against Mahomes? Because so far he's a difficult one. You have to try to contain Travis Kelce and then make them go to somebody else and hope.
John, who do you like in this one?
I would like the Kansas City Chiefs to win, but I'm coming at it from a different angle than some other people. I mean, with Baltimore, I think there's still a few questions to be answered. Lamar Jackson, I think we talked about him last week briefly, but is this going to be a situation where he is just a really good quarterback now, a fantastic dual threat quarterback who can hit his targets in the open? Or is this, you know, he played Miami week one, so I think everyone can kind of write that off the schedule and call that the outlier. And he did pretty well last week too, I thought. So, but, you know, Kansas City Chiefs like to concede, well, they don't like to, but they often concede a lot of points.
We like to concede a lot of points. Go there and concede points, guys.
It's what we do around here. No, but the rumor, just going back to Jalen Ramsey for 1 second, the rumors are that he might be off to the Chiefs this week, so if they can put him back there to plug a few holes, I think, listen, it'd be foolish to look beyond Kansas City in that one.
Yeah, right now, I have a sneaky feeling that going with the under 55 might be a good bet.
About to say it, 55 is very high. That does seem pretty high. And while on the highs and lows of games, just on the Thursday night game, because we don't normally touch the Thursday night game too much, even though it's only episode 2, is that it's 38.5. Now, Mike, I'm reading a weather forecast that says we're looking at 20 mile per hour sustained winds, gusts of around 30 miles an hour. The windiest game of the year is on its way. Wind means no points. Agreed?
Well, maybe if the wind gets behind Minshew, he gets some long passes in. They're both... The Jags are still a good defensive team. The Titans are a good defensive team. Both the offenses seem to malfunction. The days of where last season when everyone was saying every game was going to be a 54-51 shootout, you know, I think we had 4 games last weekend where nobody got in over 20 points or all came in under 20. I think this has all the aspects on a short week of being another one where neither team can hit 20 points.
Yeah,
particularly if the conditions are like that. You know, if it's going to be a running game the entire way through. But, I mean...
I have the total points in front of me here. Yeah. And, I mean, it stands out a mile that the Tennessee Titans-Jacksonville Jags game. It's obvious that the line has moved already, so we're probably late to the party. With 38.5 being now under 9-10 at the moment even. But, I mean, you look at the other games at the weekend, we're talking 47, 44, 44, 55 for the Kansas game, 48, 44. So the line has moved by 10 points already, realistically. But I still think that that is a decent enough shout. The game at 9:25 is the Steelers at 49ers. Round the room, right? Week one, 49ers didn't look great, if you ask me. Week two, they looked amazing. What exactly are they? John, are they a good or a bad side?
I think they're a team in development. I think they're going to blow hot and cold all season. And I don't know if they're going to be... I wouldn't be overly confident in backing them this weekend.
Are you a Jimmy G truther, as you are Christian McCaffrey?
Well... He's more handsome than Christian McCaffrey, just about. But
he is a very fine-looking man, Mike.
He's got that sort of—it's sort of like the Clark Kent jaw, you know.
That's he does have the Clark Kent jaw. Yeah. It's a great shout.
Yeah, he could be. I mean, he could have had a role in Goodfellas. You know? I've got to get Jimmy G over here.
Is he a good quarterback, though, Mike?
I think so, potentially so. I mean, we still haven't had the full season report on him, but in that offense, if anything, he has to constrain himself in that offense. But it, you know, when we saw what Mullins did last year in that offense and played pretty well, he's got the ability to do that. And this is fascinating because I don't know, as the 49ers have a huge home field advantage, which is just a sense that I get. But they're playing a team with a backup quarterback in some disarray and some indiscipline going on there. So, with the spread less than a touchdown, I don't think that's an unreasonable kind of bet, although there's a couple I like better around there this week as a best bet.
Okay, well, just... every week we are going to do a same game multi, and a couple of feedback from last week was a couple of people were asking me just to again explain exactly what is a same game multi. A same game multi is essentially where you combine multiple markets on the same game, and as the games approach, more and more markets will appear on the site. So there'll be the likes of first touchdown, last time touchdown, anytime goals, anytime goal scorer, anytime touchdown scorer, total points, handicap, money line, prop bets for certain players, and you can combine them. So we're just going to do it for the Thursday night game because there's a huge amount of markets up for that, and I want to show people who are listening. I don't know how you show people who are listening. Someone else will comment.
You'll have
on
to
that.
Tell them, Kieran. That's
someone,
how it works.
Someone will do that. We mentioned about the unders in the game, so I'm going to do a treble here live on air. So I'm going to do the total points in the game, which is 37.5. So I'm going to go under. Between us, gentlemen, who do we actually think will win the game, Jacksonville Jags or Tennessee Titans?
I would probably take the Titans.
Yeah, I would too.
I'd take the Titans.
So there's
if it's
3-4
win
on
the
game, money line.
Give the ball to Derrick Henry and see what he can do.
And, well, funny enough that you should mention Derrick Henry, because many people will remember this game as Derrick Henry scored a 99-yard touchdown run against the Jaguars last December for his lifetime highlight reel. But he's fed up of people talking about it. So we're not going to even mention it. Probably cut that out, actually, Derek. But Mike, are you okay if we put in him to get a touchdown, or is there someone else that you like?
Delanie Walker on the Titans.
Delanie Walker,
I think, is usually a pretty good. But I mean, that's a passing touchdown. But they like to go to him close to the goal line, and his return this year has been a big difference for them.
Okay, so our same game multi works out, people. At 18.57. So that's pretty good.
It's not bad. It's not bad at all.
Hopefully that'll be one that we'll get right next week.
Yeah.
Unlike you, John.
Well, we can't retroactively edit that out, so we'll have to stick to our guns on this one.
We can try, but it wouldn't work out very well for us. That's the same game multi, as said, available on all of our NFL games if you want to just double, treble up on the same game and really get involved. Because I have to say, me personally, if I'm talking about same game multis, etc., I love backing a team to beat the spread and the overs.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I like watching a game knowing every point is helping me and possibly hindering me, you know, in a way as well. But I think if you have a total points and a spread bet, once they get over the total points, you know I've half the bet won.
Yeah. Absolutely.
As long as the team aren't 20 points down.
How's this one for you guys? I'll run this one by you, but just going on a similar theme, but just going back to the Cowboys-Dolphins game. I like Cowboys by, let's say, 35, or maybe I'll take it back. I'll rein it in slightly. Cowboys by 30, and then I don't know. Jason Witten just to keep scoring touchdowns. I think they'll certainly get a lot of looks in the red zone. And I think Witten's got 3 or 4 so far this year when he stepped out of the announcer's booth and directly into the end zone. Apparently,
there are alternative handicaps available always on the site. I can see. Very quickly, I know you'll get Dallas Cowboys minus 33.5 at around 3-1. So price that up with the touchdown market.
Yeah, you're looking healthy there. I'd say
it's nice. Before we let you guys go back to your lovely Wednesday mornings, John, you've nothing to do. I know.
I have like 4 jobs here.
The joys of a freelancer. You say 4 jobs. I say no jobs. Rams at Browns is the late game on Sunday night. If you're staying up, John, you are a Browns expert.
Yes, sir.
They have the Rams coming their way. It's going to be very tough.
Yeah, listen, I'm not that much of a homer that I'm unrealistic about how this looks like it'll go down. I think the Browns are kind of a little bit of a work in progress. They were impressive last weekend. The main takeaway is Baker Mayfield needs to settle down a little bit. They're trying to expand the offense past the kind of the quick throws into slant routes that he was doing last week, or last season, I should say, into a strategy now that more accommodates their star-studded offense. So he's struggling a little bit there. The one thing I will take away is that I think Myles Garrett is an absolute monster who's going to be the sack leader in the league and a big candidate for a defensive player of the year.
Yeah, that's a great point, because the one thing you take away with the Rams is that Jared Goff still doesn't look totally comfortable for them in the pocket.
Yeah, I don't get the sense that he can read the offense or the defense terribly well, I should say.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what's coming.
So Garrett could be a real factor in this one. But when you look at the Jets game, and remember it was against the Jets,
yes,
it comes down to basically the 2 plays that Odell Beckham made for the Browns. One of which was an absolutely brilliant catch that led to points, and the other one of which was like Greg Williams, who last year was Cleveland's defensive coordinator and this year is the Jets, sort of having a guy play 20 yards off of Odell Beckham and not give him any help. And like, what could go wrong? it was so hard to figure out. Marcus May, the other safety, who theoretically could have been giving some help, was chasing him and literally ran past him.
He turned his back, I believe.
And then turned around. Yeah. It was the strangest pursuit I've ever seen in my life. You know, it was like, oh, I have a great view of this touchdown. If I turn around now, I'll get an even better one.
just on that game, and it's not a dig at Browns fans or John in any way, shape, or form. But
be careful, Kieran.
I'm not just noticing, but I'm surprised that the handicap is 3 points. The last time the Browns played at home, they were beaten by 30+.
Yes,
they are playing the third favorite for the Super Bowl title.
Yeah.
A team that look like they're getting going again after some rustiness. And that's going to be very tough. And I think a lot of people, if they are staying up late and doing an accumulator on the live games on Sky, will be looking at and thinking, -3, I'll take last year's beaten Super Bowl finalists who are coming in looking good with 3 points.
I think that's reasonable.
I think that
small spread reflects that lack of faith in Goff from the first 2 games.
Yeah. Okay, gentlemen, just to quickly on some of what we would call our best bets for the weekend, I'm going to go in the Thursday night game on the under points. I'm getting the gusts of wind into my sails and onto my back and hopefully bringing it home. John, I know you like the look of the Dallas Cowboys. We're never going to say you like the look of the Dolphins in the show. 17
I mean,
weeks.
I feel like that's even a cheeky thing to recommendation to make, because it's the most obvious one on the board, but I'll stick with it.
Your article's out Friday. Everyone can read exactly.
Yeah, we can plug the column on Friday, but in terms of bests, I mean, I like taking home teams, and right now I'm looking at the Packers giving 8 to Denver, the Bills giving 6 to Cincinnati, the Seahawks giving 4.5 to New Orleans, and the Chargers giving 3.5 to Houston. My best will probably come from those, see what the line's done by Friday, but will probably come from those one of those home teams. because all of them, I think, are in winning positions. And I'm really right now tempted, and don't you dare change this on me after I say this, but the Eagles-Lions game is even money for over 47 points.
It is right now, yes.
And I'm really tempted by that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel that you think my role in the company is something stronger than it actually is.
There's only three people that work for Betfair.
The word. I tell you, if that line changes, Jimmy G is going to come and have a word.
On that note, we shall leave it for week three. We will be back, of course, next Wednesday for NFL Only Better. Thursday is Football Only Better, and Friday is Racing Only Better. It's a mantra. It's not a great mantra, but it is our mantra. So,
nonetheless, yep.
So they're going to be available. So subscribe to the channel on your podcast provider, and you'll get that in your ear. And there is actually more to come as well. We've got a couple more in the pipeline, so there'll be lots for you to listen to and enjoy as the winter closes in. But my thanks to John Boff here in
Thank
studio
you,
with me, and to Mike Carlson on the phone. Brilliant again, lads, and we'll speak to you again next week. Thanks again.
Thanks a lot, mate.